Welcome to the Optimal Optimism podcast series, made active by Virgin Active. The single-minded focus of the series is to empower you with practical tools to create a positive and abundant life. Our aim is to replace a glass-half-empty mentality with a productive glass-half-full mindset. As part of the series, we'll be chatting to Virgin Active experts who will be giving their insights on the topics we discuss. In this episode, we ask the question, how do we interact with food? And how do we create a positive relationship with food? To help us find the answers, we speak to Kim Hoffman, a registered dietitian with an honors degree in psychology. Kim works in private practice. Her passion lies in combining psychological studies with nutrition and food. And Kim often helps clients understand the reasons behind their binging and other unhealthy habits. Welcome to the show, Kim. How are you doing today?
Very well, thank you, Barrett, and you?
I'm all good, all good. So to start, let's take it all the way to the basics. Tell me, what is food and how does it benefit the body?
Okay, so on a very basic level, food is a nutritious substance that we need to eat or drink in order to stay alive, to grow, to thrive. Food is made up of basic components. So that is your carbohydrates, your proteins, your fats, your vitamins, your minerals, fiber, as well as water. And all the foods provide us with these nutrients so that the body can make energy, and it needs energy for activity, for growth in children, and all the functions of the body, like your breathing, digesting food, keeping warm. And the materials for growth and repair of the body and for keeping the immune system healthy. So there's so many functions that the body has to do. And we've got to remember that it needs energy, first of all, to do them. And it's a whole lot of other nutrition. And food is what gives us that. Food actually has two roles. It nourishes the body, so it gives the body all the energy and nutrients that it needs, but it also nurtures us. And the nurture is the taste of food, how it tastes, how it feels, how you feel with it. And if you don't focus on that part and you only eat for nourishment, you will crave foods later because you want to taste. So like a lot of people go on shake diets and they think this is the answer. It's controlled. There's so and so many calories and everything. Then I won't do any extras. But you'll get to the end of the day and you'll want to chew because chewing is such a vital part of nurture. And you want to taste different foods because you're going to get overwhelmed by only tasting the same food the whole time. So practice mindful eating and really spend time with the food and enjoy it properly.
Brilliant. You mentioned fats, carbohydrates, proteins. Let's dive deeper. Break down into those sort of different elements, because there's this perception with people that, oh, you know, I can't eat that. I can't do this because of this. And you often hear, once on the lips, lifetime on the hips, those type of sayings.
So, yes.
So let's break it down so people can understand that none of them are evil. None of them are any negative aspects on the body.
Absolutely. None of them are evil. And this is such an important message that needs to come across to people because we've become very afraid of food. So all of those nutrients are a requirement for the body. Carbohydrates, let's talk about them. Yes. People are so scared of them. It's almost like you're swearing if you say carbohydrates are here.
Absolutely.
You're not. Your body uses carbohydrates for energy. So that is why we need carbohydrates. It is converts into glucose or sugar. And again, not a swear word. And that glucose is used by the cell to produce energy. And it's actually the body's favorite source of making energy. So glucose is a very, very good nutrient that the body can utilize very nicely to make energy. Of course, proteins and fats can also make energy in our bodies. Proteins, interestingly enough, convert into glucose, and then it goes into that same glucose cycle. So what I always say to people is, if you're going to cut out your carbohydrates and only eat protein, your protein is getting used as a carbohydrate. So it's quite crazy like that, because people actually don't understand that connection. Absolutely. And then fats can also be used as energy. They go into a slightly different cycle to make energy. So there we probably heard of the keto diet or ketosis. Fats convert into ketone bodies, and those ketone bodies go into a cycle that produces energy as well. But it's actually not a favored cycle for the body. It will use it if it has no glucose available. And if you're not eating carbohydrate, then your body first goes for amino acids or proteins or muscle to get the glucose. But then because the glucose levels are quite low, it then starts breaking down body fat and using the ketone bodies as energy. But the minute you eat some carbohydrate again, you're going to bounce into the glucose cycle again. And the adaptation into that fat cycle is actually quite strenuous for the body. And anyone who's gone onto a keto type diet knows that for the first 2 weeks, you battle, the body's not happy, you're not in a good space. Once you're in the cycle, it's okay, but you get bounced right out of it the minute you have a carb. And it's actually very difficult in our lives not to have carbohydrates, because a lot of natural foods contain carbohydrates as well as protein and fat. And I think just from a perspective of, we need all these nutrients, when you balance them well, that's generally when you do the best. And within carbohydrates, yes, we don't want to choose pure sugar foods as our choice of carbohydrate. And that's not necessarily because the body won't know what to do with it. It's because the body releases that too quickly into the blood, and there's too much energy then around for the cell, or glucose around for the cells to use. And so it then dumps and needs to store. And that's when you're more likely to go into fat storage. But also, secondly, is that when you eat pure sugar, you're only having energy. You're not getting any of the other nutrition that the body needs. And that's your vitamins, your minerals, and your fiber. So when you eat a food, a carbohydrate in a good form, say, for instance, in a fruit or a legume or a starchy veg, such as a potato, then you're getting the energy side, the glucose side, but you're also getting good nutrition that the body can use then to run the body effectively.
I love that breakdown. You've explained things so well. And you spoke of the energy. Now, this energy that you speak of, am I correct in my understanding that to a certain degree, yes, while we're sleeping, but from the minute we wake up to the minute we go to sleep, our body is processing and utilizing this energy to do what it does. Naturally, during exercise and stressful times or high elevated energy expenditure times, it will use more energy. But the energy is being used and being processed from the minute we wake up to the minute we go to sleep. Is that correct?
100%. And actually, not only when we wake up and go to sleep, even while you're sleeping, you need energy. So all the time, your body is needing energy. While you're sleeping, your body just needs energy to survive. So it's just doing the normal, the beating of the heart, the lungs expanding and contracting for breathing, the keeping you warm, all of those functions. So the basic functions of keeping alive. But then once you get up, you're becoming active, you're moving around. And so the body needs more energy during the day when you are busy versus when you are sleeping. And so, but we need that energy all the time. And people actually don't understand how much energy we need. When I do a test on people to see what their basal metabolic rates are, and basal metabolic rate is the amount of energy you need just to survive. So it does not take into consideration any activity, any exercise, any concentrating, any movement. That tends to be around 1,200 to 2,000 calories, depending on the size of the person. So 1,200 calories is a very good amount of energy that you can, that your body probably needs, just even if you were doing absolutely nothing. So we underestimate just how much energy our bodies require.
Again, you're breaking it down so beautifully. Tell me now, I've interacted with so many people, they say, you know, they eat once a day, they eat twice a day, they miss breakfast. When you hear those statements, as it riles me up so much, what is your response? How do you engage with those people? What's the first point to get them to understand that you need energy and this is the way we get our energy?
Absolutely. The eye roll, the exasperation.
So, you need to eat.
I kindly tell them what the needs of the body are. So I think also really, really important within all of this is that people understand when we need more energy in the day versus when we don't need so much energy.
Yep.
So during the day is when most of us are busy. We get up in the morning, we might exercise, we're getting ready, we're looking, getting kids ready, we're rushing off to work or getting the kids to school. It's go, go, go. We're sitting in front of our computers, we're thinking, we're working, we move around because we're getting up and doing things.
That's so just a pause there, just a pause there. A lot of people think, well, I'm sitting at my desk all day, which means that I'm not moving and not having any energy expenditure, which is not the case, correct?
Not at all,
exactly.
Yes. We need loads of energy for thinking and working.
Exactly.
Yes, the body's not moving at that point, but the brain is thinking.
Yeah.
And I mean, think back to when we did exams and things like that. We needed so much energy, even though we were sitting studying the whole time. The energy you need, yeah, but this is where I'm saying people are not registering just how much energy the body actually needs just to do simple things. So during the days where you need to get the bulk of your energy in, so that is what people need to remember. Daytime is when we should be eating. Nighttime, let's think, what do we do at night? Well, we slow down, we sit in front of the TV, we might have a meal, we go to bed and sleep. So there's not much activity happening there.
Yep.
And so we don't need as much energy. So what's become very skewed in our westernized life is don't eat during the day. It's an easy time not to eat because we're so busy. Eat at night when you have nothing else to do. But our bodies are not happy when we're doing that. Physiologically, they're not in a good space because they want the energy to come in when they need it during the day. And they're okay with little energy coming in later when you are not doing that much. And I just want to add here as well. So that's the body's needs. But the body also works with the circadian cycle, which is that day-night cycle. And the functions of nutrition, the digestion of the food, the utilization of that energy, the removal of waste is so much more efficient during the day. At night, the body's going, well, I don't need much energy. So yeah, those functions are going on the back burner now.
Yeah.
I have to focus on other things. And so if you're eating majority of your food at a time where your body actually doesn't like doing the digestion, you are going to have a system that doesn't work as well.
So let's expand on that. When you say a system that doesn't work as well, would you agree, or am I correct in my understanding that when there are longer breaks between consumption of food, of nutrients, of eating, then what happens is the body slows itself down in the sense of it slows the metabolism down, it slows the fat burning down. Everything sort of goes into a slow motion, so to speak. Am I correct in my understanding that when there are longer breaks between eating, when nothing's consumed, the body goes into that mode in order for it to accommodate the energy not coming in when it's required?
Yes, absolutely. It doesn't happen from one day to the next. So say today I am not eating and I got a bit too hungry for my meal, but it's an abnormality. The body's not just going to slow down then. But if you're consistently not giving the body energy or the amount of energy that it requires, and you're consistently doing that, giving it less energy than it needs, it will learn to function on less energy. And that's why it slows down, because this is all I have. I've got to hold on because I don't know when more is coming.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a little bit to do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Whereas the opposite, if you're eating enough and really fueling your body well, your body uses everything that it's given, and then it breaks down fat extra to give you more energy when you're doing activity. So that is why the eating enough food is so vital. And eating enough food is actually not the complete sentence. Eating enough food during the day is the vital, vital thing that people need to start doing. And when they start doing it, you really start noticing how your body works better. How many people have cravings at the end of a day?
Yeah.
Most of those cravings are an indication that you did not eat enough during the day.
Yep.
They are physiological. There's nothing emotionally wrong with you. actually, I'm not eating enough. And so the body sends out a message when it knows you will eat. And then, of course, when we're that hungry, we crave the wrong types of food.
Yes. So it's amazing for me. I'm vegetarian, but I'm eating. Mm-hmm. I have my breakfast, then I have a snack, then another snack. I'm eating, and everyone at the office here, they're always like, "Oh, Barrett's eating again. Oh, all you're doing is eating." And I watch around me, and you know, hardly any of them are eating. It's like, you need to eat. So leading to that, what is the shortest gap general person should have between eating something and eating again?
Okay, so there isn't a hard and fast rule, and everybody is different.
Yes.
But generally, we do better when we eat more regularly in the day. That is a fact. How much you're eating at each of the meals does determine how long the meal will hold you, or how long that energy level will hold you before your body requires more. Generally in the daytime, I find 3 to 4 hours gaps are better. And then in the evening, we can definitely stretch to about 5 hours. And then of course we can do the overnight fast. We finish supper and then we only eat again the next day.
Yeah.
So the body can manage for a couple of hours without, but at that time it needs the least amount of energy. And that's why that is the best time not to feed it. Whereas if you do that during the day, you're going to negatively impact the body.
So I get a sense it's about people understanding, listening to their bodies, and getting into a rhythm and routine of what works with them and food, testing everything out, and then seeing how their body incorporates and reacts with the energies and the nutrition that the person's giving themselves. Am I correct?
Absolutely correct. So it is such an individualized game.
Yeah.
That's why these eating plans that you can get from the internet, they might not be the right one for you.
Exactly.
Who says that this diet is what your body needs? You have got to discover, each one of us has got to discover what is best for our body. And for that, we need to go into our body and let it talk to us. Your body is always talking to you. It will always tell you what's going on. But if you're not connected, if the head and the body are not connected properly, you won't hear it. And so the problem becomes that people are listening to external rules because, of course, that person knows better what I need.
Yeah.
And then stop listening to their bodies. And then it all goes wrong. So we've got to go back to tuning into our body, listening for that hunger signal, listening to how our foods feel in our body, listening to that satiety signal and stopping, and going with the body, not letting the head decide for the body. The head doesn't know what the body needs.
Yes.
The head can execute what the body needs, but the body actually knows what it needs. And what I always say to my clients is, your body doesn't lie. Your body works with nature. If it needs energy, it will tell you. It's not going to send out a signal for chocolate. What's it going to do with chocolate? It's going to send out a hunger signal. I need energy now. And you've got to learn to listen to it, hear it, and feed it. And we've got to stop listening to what our heads are saying. But our heads are so confused with so much information around that people don't actually know how to listen to their bodies anymore. And they have no idea what their needs actually are.
So just unpacking a lot what you've just said, a lot of people only, I think they tap into that hunger, but they've already gone long past that because they've already waited 5, 6, 7 hours. So it's no longer hunger. It's that craving because they haven't eaten for so long. And then they think they're only hungry. So it's about stepping a step backwards and realizing that's not hunger. That's beyond hunger. Am I correct?
Correct. Absolutely. So most people don't know what hunger is. So when I talk about hunger, I talk about that initial signal that your body sends out. It comes as a light emptiness or hollowness in the stomach region. So we also got to know where the stomach is. So it's quite high up. It's in between the bottom of your ribs. And that's where our stomach actually is. And that's where the signal comes from. It's a light emptiness and hollowness. At that point, your blood sugars are currently coming down. So the body has used up what it's gotten and the blood sugars are decreasing. That's when it starts sending out the signal. But most people, unfortunately, can't hear it then. You've got to be very tuned in to hear it. It's got to be, to me, it's a strong message. I can feel it straight away. But if you're not tuned in, you miss it. And then they start feeling the symptoms when their blood sugars are low and the symptoms of low blood sugar come through. So that's the little bit dizzy, hangry, big one. Most people understand hangry. A little bit of shaking, perhaps. Headaches are very common. Headache is often a sign that the blood sugars are too low and can't concentrate properly anymore. So once they hear that, those signals, they think that's the hunger signal.
Yeah.
But that's actually the starving signal. So by that point, if you hear it there only and respond there only, you have missed the time where you would have been able to make a good choice and eaten slowly and really enjoyed your food and known when to stop. Now you're desperate. Now the body's desperate. And so now you're going to choose a food that's not as good, eat far faster than you should, thereby eat far more than you should and be stuffed afterwards. So that is what happens when we leave it too long, is our reaction is not controlled anymore. And we tend to do all the wrong things and then overeat.
So I often feel that, and I've heard people say that they're eating, which means they're putting on weight no matter what they're eating. And if they're not eating, means they're losing weight. This is, I don't know, this crazy, crazy perception. So in your experience, what is the general relationship between people and food?
Yes. So unfortunately, there is this feeling that if I eat less, I will lose more weight.
Yeah.
And that is very common and prominent with amongst people. And I'm trying to change that one step at a time by saying, no. The body's metabolism doesn't work with that logic, less in, more out.
Yeah.
Doesn't work.
It doesn't work. Absolutely.
It works with eat enough and I will function at my maximum and thereby help you with weight loss or help you to get to that perfect body that you can get to.
Yeah.
So the relationship with food should be very simple. It should seriously be, I am eating because my body's telling me that it's running out of energy. I am savoring my food and really enjoying it. So letting the taste buds enjoy it and taking time out while I'm doing it. And then I'm stopping eating because a satiety signal is coming through. So I have had enough and then I can carry on with whatever I am doing. So that's how simple the relationship should be. But it's gone way beyond that because people are using food for many more reasons than just I need energy.
Yeah.
Those come to things like, I'm bored. What do I do? Let's eat.
Yeah.
I'm sad. I'm anxious. I'm stressed. Procrastination, big one. I often say to people, did you want the food now? Or did you just want a break? Or just, I like the food. I like the taste of this food. Therefore, I want it. So we're eating for far too many reasons nowadays. And that has caused a huge shift in. And that together with not listening to your body and not knowing exactly how much your body needs has caused a shift in weight where we are now eating and gaining weight and also becoming more ill. So our health is suffering because of it. So that's the one reason that we're doing it. The problem also is our manufacturers. We've got too much food available to choose from and too much processed food to choose from. So people should also go back to basics and go, well, what is the simplest form that I can eat this food in?
Yeah.
I should eat a baked potato with some, okay, you're a vegetarian now. So we'll say with some legumes and avo. So that is a nice, we've got potatoes, which literally were just pulled from the earth. Yes, we get them in the shops because that's just where our westernized lifestyle is, but it's yeah. still an unprocessed food. We've then taken the legumes. Okay, so we have taken them from the can, so they are partially processed, but that is, again, our westernized lifestyle makes our life easy and we don't need to soak and cook for hours on end. And then the avo is an amazing food that it contains amazing type of fat and will keep us fuller for longer. And then, of course, we're going to add some salad ingredients or veggies to that too to balance the meal completely. And so that meal now feels too wrong for people because, oh my gosh, potatoes are bad. Yeah. We can't eat legumes. We, you know, there's all these reasons for not eating food, yet they'll go to a takeaway place and buy something for convenience and eat that. So we're making bad choices and we're so scared of so many foods that we are ultimately going for processed food over healthy food. It's a logic that does not make sense. So many of my clients will, for supper, skip the carbs, then eat a chocolate afterwards.
Yeah.
And I always say, like, where is the nutrition in the chocolate that the potato would not have given you? And why is the potato so bad that you can't add it to the plate? So we've become very skewed on our thinking of food. And that is unfortunately because of the diet culture.
Yeah.
that we have. And so right now, our relationship with food is very poor. And a lot of the time people want to lose weight because they're unhappy with where their body is at. And now we're bringing weight into that mix of the relationship should be between food and person, but now it's food, weight, and person. So I can't eat that because that does this to my weight, or I'm watching my weight and so I have to change what I eat. And we actually need to separate the two. Weight is one journey that we go on, or weight loss is one journey that we go on. And eating well and changing our habits is another journey that we go on. If we focus on the weight, we're not really going to achieve much because we're just watching a number and we're getting obsessed about it and we're becoming emotional and it's affecting how we do our habits. So let's stop focusing on that and not weigh ourselves. And the journey that we need to watch and look at and concentrate on is the habit changing journey.
Yeah.
So what am I not doing? I'm not eating breakfast. Okay. So my habits need to be that I must eat breakfast. I don't care what it does to my weight because ultimately it's the better habit that's going to ultimately cause my body to go to its best. So we've got to stop looking at weight. Weight has become too much part of everything.
Yeah. Totally agree. But, you know, I love myself a piece of chocolate and chips sometimes. But when I eat it, I'm like, cool. This is now energy for my spinning class. This is now energy for getting that proposal out. This is energy now for how it's going to support me in my journey.
Absolutely. And those processed foods do bring energy in. They just don't bring much nutrition in, which is why we don't choose them all the time or majority of the time. But yes, absolutely. There should be no food that you say is bad or you can't have. We need to allow ourselves to have everything.
Yeah.
It's unconditional permission to eat whatever you feel like. And I feel like a couple of blocks of chocolate. Enjoy the couple of blocks of chocolate. Check how your body feels about it. And I'm telling you now, a couple of blocks of chocolate or a couple of chips, your body's not going to feel bad. But eat a whole big packet of chips or a whole bar of chocolate, your body's not going to be that happy. So then you're being honest with yourself is saying, I'm not going to eat the whole packet because then I won't feel good. And part of this is I want to feel good. I want my body to feel good. So yes, we must allow ourselves all of those foods. They can play a role. And even if their only role is to taste good, they can definitely be part of your plan. But the important thing I always say is when you eat a food that doesn't have as much nutrition, make sure you taste it and you savor it and you work with it and you spend time with it without doing anything else, because otherwise you've wasted the food. Because if you're just going to eat it unconsciously, quickly, while you're working, you haven't tasted it properly, you haven't savored it, and it is a waste in your body. So when you're eating foods, really spend time with them. Eat them mindfully.
Yeah.
Don't do other things when you're eating.
Yeah.
Learn to take a break and take a breather and enjoy the food properly.
So it's about conscious eating and in moderation.
Yes.
I love that.
Absolutely. And when we do that, everything goes well.
Absolutely.
And you also can't expect things to be perfect within a day or two. So this is the other thing that diet culture has done is I ate a whole week of this diet. I had no treats. I stuck to it perfectly and my weight didn't budge. Well, I only lost 1 kilo. So again, we keep doing it for weight. Stop doing it for weight.
Yeah.
Do it because I want my body to feel good and work well. And then you will, over time, see the benefits of how good your body looks as well.
And it is a thing over time.
Yes.
It's not a quick fix. So how do we create a positive relationship with food?
We've got to take a step right back. We've got to stop doing what we're doing. One thing that we have to stop doing is we have to stop listening to what other people are saying about food. We've got to learn to say, I can eat any food. Start small. Also remember that if you've been dieting all your life, you can't just now suddenly be an intuitive eater. It doesn't work that way. Psychologically, it takes time to work through the way that we feel about food. And there are definitely still going to be times where you slip back and make mistakes. And it's about saying, I'm embracing my mistakes because the mistakes will teach me how I better want to move forward. So always start small. I say to my clients, get a good structure going. A structure of how we eat is vital. Like I said, more food during the day, less at night. When you get that structure going of a good breakfast and eating regularly thereafter with more food coming in the daytime, you'll suddenly notice your body functioning better and you're feeling better. And then everything starts coming right. Remember that your physiology is vital to be kept constant. And if you don't keep your physiology constant, you will get cravings at the end of the day, which will make everything just so much harder. So we've got to start eating so that the body works well. And then start listening to your body. Start learning about what it's telling you. What does this hunger signal sound like to me? What does satiety sound like? How do I feel when I eat this volume of food? How do I feel when I eat this type of food? So really start observing and figuring out what your body is about and what feels good for your body and what makes your body happy. And then absolutely don't say no to any foods. So unconditional permission to eat anything. If you want it, enjoy it. The minute we get a bit of deprivation going, we end up overdoing or binging. Now, that level of deprivation depends on in everyone themselves. So some people, deprivation is if I don't let them eat treats in the week. Some people, deprivation is if they know they can never eat treats again. So I can do 2 weeks of no treats with them because they're absolutely fine with it because they know it's going to come back. But some already, if I say don't eat at night, that's a deprivation. So we've got to know where our limits are and what we struggle with. And we've got to take it back to that level. So someone who struggles with the evening eating and I want them to stop eating, I start with simple things in terms of when you want to eat, discover why. So just do a little bit of thinking about it, journaling about it, and discover why. Once you've discovered why, then you can make your choice whether you're going to eat it or not. And I always say it doesn't matter which one you choose, they're both right answers, but we've got to know why we're doing it and look to see if there's anything else we can do. So we've literally got to take the journey from where the person is at. And then we've got to practice that mindful eating. Mindful eating is vital. If you don't do mindful eating, you'll never be able to be really good at eating well and doing what's right for your body because your taste buds love food and they want to taste foods. Practice mindful eating and really spend time with the food and enjoy it properly. Then you're developing a positive relationship with food.
I love that. So that's the journey that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. So give me a couple of tips that we can implement today that will allow us to get to this positive relationship.
The first thing that comes to mind is stop all food rules. Think about what rules you are living by currently when it comes to your choice in food and when you eat, and break them down slowly but surely. So you get people that say, no, I can't eat breakfast because I have to do intermittent fasting and I'm only allowed to start eating at 12 o'clock. So I'm not allowed to eat. So stop that rule. The rule is, if your body is hungry, feed it. Okay, so look at what rules you're living by, what diet rules you've created for yourself or taken on from different diets, and stop them. Let them go. Very scary step to take, but that would be my first thing. And okay. Really a good one is learn to live in the gray. And what I mean by that is we can't be all or nothing, black or white. We have to learn to live mediocre. Moderate, it's what you said, a moderate diet. Include everything in moderation. And when you learn that it's not I can't have or I have to only have, that black and white all or nothing is never going to work well for a good relationship. So learn to live in the gray. And then learn to trust your body. Learn to know that your body never lies and will be absolutely honest with you. You've just got to hear it and understand it. So trust your body. That mindful eating should definitely be one of the things that we work with. So, and there we can just start practicing. Take your meal, plate it well, sit down, and focus just on the food. Don't do anything else. Your brain will probably go into thought, and that'll take you away from the focus of the food. But when you notice that, then just gently bring your brain back to the focus of the food and focus on it again. So practice that mindful eating as often as possible in your day. And then if there are emotions where you're using food to handle them, learn how to deal with them without food. So we do a lot of emotional eating. A lot of people do emotional eating. And we've got to learn to say, food has its role, but it can't make me happy. And so I can't eat it because I'm sad, or I can't eat it because I'm bored. I've got to learn to find other things to do. Food is such an easy thing we go to. Food is It's available all the time. It's almost legalizes that break if you're needing a break. And we've got to learn to say, no, I don't need food in this situation right now. Just having a seat and sitting outside in the sun is good enough to give me a break. So learning to deal with things and not always using food, a part of it is a good step to take to improve that relationship with food.
Brilliant. I love it. Thank you, Kim, for your time today, and have a fruitful day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Optimal Optimism podcast, made active for you by Virgin Active. Find out more information on our sponsors by visiting virginactive.co.za or follow at @virginactivesa on all social media platforms. Optimal Optimism is produced by me, Barrett Edelstein, together with Erin Medise and Spike Ballantyne, and is available on cliffcentral.com, the Cliff Central app, or wherever you enjoy listening to podcasts.